Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And what a great spotlight we're going to be putting on the Southwest today. This show is made possible due to the generous support of Habitat for Humanity Tucson. We appreciate their support, and we also appreciate everything they do for our community and our planet because of their commitment to giving people a hand up and not a handout. That's one of my favorite phrases about Habitat for Humanity. They help people make changes in their life, and the people that do get a home have skin in the game, literally, sometimes, if they ruin their nails or take a chunk out with a hammer. They're involved. So speaking of which, the name of our show tonight is Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight in the Southwest. Does building green make good sense? And it's sense with a C. And here to help us answer that question and talk to us about the really great work of Habitat for Humanity in our community is their fearless leader, T. Van Hook. She is the CEO for Habitat and is doing amazing things with her team. T, it's always great to have someone I know on the show because you know we're going to have fun.
Absolutely. Thrilled to be here, Mrs. Green.
And having fun at Habitat, Humanity Day Build, home builds, is not hard. I can tell you that. Lots of fun to be had by all. So I always like to start off with a brief, you know, I don't really sing much on the air, but getting to know you conversation so that our listeners get to know a little bit about your background, who you are, and how you your journey led you to becoming the CEO of Habitat for Humanity. Just a little bit about T.
Sure. Well, I studied fine arts in college, so then
perfect
you wander.
Segue.
Absolutely.
You wander.
You know, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a household with a parent that was a technical writer. And so as I grew and really was interested in community and making the community better, which is what my focus has always been throughout my career, I had the ability to write grants, and I was able to work. This is my second stint as a CEO of a nonprofit, and my first one was with Rise Downtown. And I think you know we started Downtown Don't Waste It, and which was a valet service to the high-rises to pull out the recyclable goods and turn around and sell those on a secondhand commodities market, use that money to provide training for homeless and people with disabilities. And it was just a great way to have a green enterprise and be, you know, an example for the community while you're reintegrating homeless people into office towers, into community, and they all know they're doing something really great for the environment. So that was really exciting. Spent a few years in government, working as a community development director. And then when Habitat came knocking, hesitated a little, but I came on board at Habitat 18 months ago, and it's really been an amazing ride.
It's knock, knock, knock. And the whole story you just told is the epitome of the circle of life and integration of thought. We create this object that we need, and then it's destined for the landfill, and to repurpose it in such meaningful ways. You sell it, take it apart, sell it, and then it goes back to helping people get out of poverty. It's just such a sustainable model, if you ask me, because I can guarantee you one thing, we'll all keep buying stuff.
Oh, we will.
Better, but you need to have somewhere to put it, and I love that. So let's talk about the homes you build. And I'm not sure when. I've been familiar with Habitat for years and years. But what you build now are green homes. They're LEED certified homes. And we haven't talked about that on the air for quite a while. For people that don't know or forget, LEED is Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. So it's a very stringent certification set out by the United States built USGBC. And you can't just say, oh, I built a green home. It's an inspection involved and very strict standards. So what does it mean to be a green home?
Well, let me tell you, Mrs. Green, we are building a really energy efficient home, a tight home. We've stopped doing the LEED certification. It's very expensive to do that. We're doing Energy
Star. You build a LEED home that doesn't have to get certified.
Well, but we're doing Energy Star 3, which is equally stringent, but the third party verification is so much easier for us. And we do that on every single home. You know, we are really deploying the latest technologies in energy efficiency, from the insulation we use to the recycled tiles that go on the roof. We're really making sure we have a tight home, that we're using instant hot water, that we're using some of the latest technologies, both because we're committed to community. And it's so critical to us that we have a sustainable community, especially here in the Southwest, but also because we want our homeowners to have a sustainable home. So when you build high quality, when you use those materials, when you lower energy costs, the entire house is more sustainable for low-income families. That gives them those extra few dollars every month to save for retirement, to save for their child's education, to save to upgrade and move into a market rate home. We do have Habitat families that do that, that they're able to use resources in the community to increase their income. They have the stability of that house, which means that they're stable in their jobs. They grow, they learn, and it's just really wonderful. The byproduct of that is that every volunteer that comes out to help us build a house sees what those latest technologies in energy efficiency are, see how they're installed in the house, and it really starts multiplying the understanding of why we do that, and people can take simple techniques and apply them to their own homes.
It's really a ripple effect in so many ways. And I think we should back up a little bit, or it's kind of a parallel conversation to, you don't just vet the families for their income and say, okay, you'll be moving in on June 1st of next year. I think the process in which you engage the consumer and the family that's going to have your home is such a critical piece, and one which I respect the most. So can you just talk a little bit about that process? They're involved.
Absolutely. And, you know, we say that we're looking for partners. We're not just looking for homeowners. And we're not looking for someone to give something to. This is really
Very
about a
different.
Partnership. Absolutely. So we ask three things: that people have a need, people have the willingness to partner with us, and that people have the income to pay back the mortgage, because they're going to get a 0% mortgage. The house isn't handed to you. The house is earned. And it's earned in a couple of ways. All of our adult homeowners in the household put in 250 hours of sweat equity. That's a lot of
work. That's a lot of work, especially since they all work.
They all work, and you know, it's great. We have families. We had families last year with small children. You know, they're raising children, and they were rotating who would watch the kids so everybody could get their hours. You really see people coming together as community to do that. In addition, they have a 0% mortgage that they pay back at the time of purchase, and they attend classes. We talk about budgeting. We talk about the green aspects of your home. We talk about maintenance, about how to put money away so that in 7 years when your water heater goes out, you can purchase another one.
Right.
So people are really prepared. And in the last few years, we've really been talking about civic engagement. How do you engage in your community? How do you be part of an HOA? You know, how do you join the board? How do you work with your local city council office or with the county board of supervisors or whoever that local government is if there's a problem in the neighborhood? We have representatives from police and fire and government all coming in and really talking to our homeowners. We were very excited last Friday. We had Tucson's mayor out to speak, and what an exciting time that was. But it's not just about here's a house. No, here's a house. Here's how you pay for it. Here's the improvements you can do for your family. Here are other programs in the community. If you have children for daycare, children for savings for college, all of these resources. And this is how you budget. And this year, something new. We have all of our prospective homeowners going through the homeowner classes are getting a PC, a laptop computer that they can home, do their budgets, do the research. There's some online banking programs, tutorials. We're giving them a whole list of resources so that they can research, see if there's a job training program that you can do evenings through one of our community partners where you can get a better wage. Really talking to them about, again, it's holistic sustainability for our community. And we think all of those aspects are so critical. We have a community model. We have volunteers come out 4 days a week and build houses with us. There's nothing greater.
Really isn't. I mean, it's fun. Even though most of the times when we do it with Chapman, I'm in charge of the donuts.
Yeah.
So that is not necessarily a thing Mrs. Green should even say on the radio, but we deserve it. It's hard work getting those donuts and watching those Chapman volunteers work. They're going to kill me.
Well, it's the hardest fun you've ever had.
You know, it is.
People will be walking to their cars and they look dog tired and sweaty and they're dragging.
Have a piece of junk food.
Yeah, but they have a smile on their faces.
They do. They do. And just a little bit of a sidebar. What I love about that piece as well is like when we do it with Chapman, for example, they bring their families. They're not going off to something that they don't have another day away from their children or their spouses or their partners. They're coming and it's a family day of giving and there's a lot of joy and fun. Oh, hi, this is my son. This is my daughter. So there's a whole ripple effect on that side because Habitat allows families to come, you know, over a certain age for safety reasons. But it's a pretty darn good fun day.
Well, and I'll tell you, I'm a newlywed. My husband was out over the weekend building and he got a little paint on his t-shirt. And he's like, what do I do with the t-shirt now? And I said, that's a badge of honor. You got paint on your shirt. That's a Habitat shirt. You wear that to the next thing.
I said, I did home already.
Absolutely. And you know, if you'd had a little blood stain or something else where you hit yourself with a hammer, that might even be a bigger badge.
That's right. That's right.
It's, you know, it's about that coming together. And so if we're going to build with a community model, if we're going to get folks out, then we need to really talk to our homeowners about what that engagement looks like. This sense of community that you gain can continue once you're in that house and that engagement. The other thing that's really wonderful about a Habitat build, and you've seen this through the Chapman builds and when you've been out with us on other times, it doesn't matter who you are. When you step onto that slab and you're working, you leave your college degree, your title from work, whatever, you know, it's, you know, doctors working alongside plumbers, working alongside people that maybe work in an office and don't have skills at all in building a house. We're working together, teaching one another. You know, it's wonderful. You see people from 16 to 90.
And it's one of those hands-on, as my husband says, it's one of those things that you're literally doing physical labor and committing to make a difference. And it feels really good. It's a huge sweet spot.
And when you see homeowners, and our homeowners wear green t-shirts, so you can identify them. I've never seen a group of people work so hard in my life. Last year, we had a woman up on a roof, and she looked a little wobbly, and I walked over, and I said, are you okay? Well, I'm afraid of heights, but I'm doing my sweat equity. And I said, we can, and I signaled for one of the guys, because she was very wobbly, and I said, we can find a job on the ground for you, but everybody's working on the roof today. We can find a job on the ground for you.
That's right.
Floors. Well, there's a whole bunch of painting that needed to happen.
Right,
put out the sawhorses. There's literally handing out donuts to skilled electrical and plumbing work. There's something for everyone along that continuum of skill.
Now, our listeners might say, okay, T. Van Hook, that's great. We love it. These are amateurs. They don't know how to build to code. Who's watching that? Of course, I know the answer.
Right.
And I've seen
we hold a general contractor's license. And
he's there.
He is there. And we have a number. We have 6 construction leaders. And we have what we call regulars. We have a whole group of people, some of which have been building with us for 20 years.
They just show up.
They show up and they're skilled. And so we have retired contractors, retired certified electricians and plumbers. We have a lot of folks, as you know, that retired to the Southwest and they come from Minnesota and they've been in the plumbers union or the electrical union and they have these certifications. And what's great about it is they're there and they not only are doing the work, they're teaching everyone else how to do the work, from master carpenters to We're going to have a whole bunch of Girl Scouts out in a couple of weeks.
Yay, Girl Scouts.
Yeah,
go,
excellent.
Debbie.
And we have a bunch of, we have a Women's Build every year. The Women's Build crew leaders are going to come out. And of course, the girls can't use the power tools, but it's really about measuring and seeing how things go together. They can hammer. There's
and
a lot of things they can do.
Can they not use the power tools because they're not strong enough? I mean, literally, they're too hard to use. For your body mass?
Well, for your body mass. And, you know, really no one under 18 should be using the power tool on the site.
I should not be using a power tool on the site. And there's nobody in the room. I can tell you that I should not be put in charge of a power tool.
You know, and the other place we need volunteers all the time is the HABA store. And we shouldn't go without mentioning the HABA store.
On my list.
Yeah, it's a great place. So let's say you have retail experience or no experience, a great place to work is the HABA store because there's a variety of jobs in an air-conditioned environment, and that's very important in Arizona in the summer.
Solar-powered. And the HABA store is, so everybody's listening, it's a place that if you're not going to be on the home build or volunteering side, you can certainly think HABA store for donations because something that you put at the HABA store that you're not using in your home anymore might end up in a Habitat for Humanity home.
Well, I say it's a triple win.
It is.
We live in a consumer culture and we have stuff. And every once in a while, you know, and I live in an eclectic home. Every once in a while, I need to thin out a little. So I take my good, gently used items, household items, construction materials, all kinds of things, take them to the HABA store. So they're out of my house and I'm free to be a consumer again. And then, so
this
I'm winning.
This is really guilt-free shopping
it's
is guilt-free. What this turns into.
And then someone needs an item. You know, we have a lot of folks that just returned to dorms and other things, returning to school. We have people that move, people that are in a temporary situation. You can go and you find these great gently used items.
And there's new items. I mean, a lot of the retailers donate if it's the third time on the sale rack, you'll find new items too.
Lighting.
With the tags on. Yeah.
All kinds of things. So you get to pick up the item you need at a reduced price, and those dollars go to supporting Habitat for Humanity and all the work we're doing in the community. So everyone wins. The person who gets rid of the eclectic items in their home, the person who needs those items, and our Habitat homeowners because we're able to make an impact in the community using those dollars. How many of us have seen something on Pinterest or, you know, we're going to recycle so everything you need for a Pinterest project is right there at the store.
It's a pinner's heaven.
It is a pinner's heaven.
It's a pinner's heaven because you find some surprises there. And what I want to say, because we have listeners from all around the country, there are HABA stores, mostly called ReStores, all around the country. But if you come to Tucson, I've also had listeners say, oh, I know you love to eat at Renee's Organic Oven. I follow you on Facebook. Well, if you come to Tucson and want to have a fun afternoon, you can go to the HABA store, which in our city is right off the interstate on Grant. You cannot miss it if you head east. It's a really big, great, beautiful...
Solar-driven,
fun place to hang out. So let's get back to the homes, because there's two things I want to make sure we cover, and I told you time will fly because you knew we would have fun. You really believe in a philosophy of what I call green from the inside out. So you're not just building a green home, teaching people how to use their energy efficiently, which is also big. You know, a lot of these people, I remember hearing that story once from you or somebody else, they leave the doors open and then they have this huge electricity bill because they used to live in an apartment and they never saw an electricity bill. So those kinds of green things, energy efficiency, energy saving are covered. But what other kinds of things that do you try to incorporate in being green? Because there are lots.
Well, you know, it's incorporating and being green. And because we're a nonprofit, it's really about efficient use of our materials.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Nothing gets wasted or dumped in the landfill.
No. Very, very little.
Very,
very little. And it even comes down to, we have a couple of volunteers, and I'll be honest, they're in their 80s. They take the short pieces of wood.
That's young, T.
Oh, and then, yeah.
We were talking about that yesterday. 60 is the new 40.
Okay, good. I'm happy to hear this.
They're only 70.
That means 50 is the new 20.
Yes.
So I'm
going with that.
Habitat Tucson and I are both 35 this year. And I'm sticking to that story.
I like it.
So, but you know, down to we have these volunteers that take scraps of wood that are 6 inches long, go home and make little mini Jenga games out of 2x4s to give. No, we have a volunteer that makes little hand toys and things. Last year he made probably for 50 of the regular volunteers little fruit boxes so you can put fruit on your counter and have it ripen. Just
and then gives it back and you sell it in the store.
Sell it in the store.
Put it in a home.
And we also, you know, we're right across the street from another thrift store, which helps a children's organization. We have a couple of volunteers that take the scrap wood and make little wooden cars and other things to give out. Just really wonderful. So, you know, as an organization, we're doing everything we can. As you know, we're on our administrative building. We collect rainwater, so all of our landscaping is fed through that. You know, we do all of these energy efficient and protection of our resources things.
The artwork is made, a lot of it, out of recycled material. It's so fun to go and walk down that hall of art when you come in. What a way, if you're Mrs. Green, especially, to be greeted by all of this beautiful artwork or work of local artists.
Absolutely.
Which is all part of your philosophy.
And it's, again, community. And how can we support other nonprofits? As you know, we have a giant meeting room in our building called the Diamond Ventures Community Room. And it's free to other nonprofits. There are people in there doing retreats and all kinds of events.
And it's hard to find rooms in Tucson that don't cost an arm and a leg. So letting people have access to a free room is another way to be a great community partner.
And again, a generous donation from a community partner. You know, we live on that. We live on people's talents, their time, and treasure that they can offer. And we're excited that Tucson is such a green community and that we're able to do so much.
And it's so sustainable. Now, let me talk about this. The other point I wanted to ask you about is, what kind of impact have you seen on the communities in which you build? That is one of the most amazing things to me. You build your pods in areas that are high risk, for the most part, that could use a lot of work on their homes. Wonderful people that don't have the skills that you are teaching them. I mean, to me, I was 35 years in social services. So to me, these are the communities that we need to be showing up as. This is how things can change. Have you seen measurable changes in the ripple effect, literally in the house next door and the house next door and the house next door? Talk about that for a bit.
Sure, absolutely. You know, we can't come into a neighborhood, build an enclave and leave. We're part of community. We build community. You know, we're building homes, community, and hope. And that's what we do. That is our mission. And so, you know, we're creating a more kind and just world by building communities, homes, communities, and hope. That's our mission. And so we've expanded. We're doing housing rehab in those neighborhoods. So you come into a neighborhood, you build one new home, but you ask the neighbors on either side, hey, do you need a brush with kindness? Can we paint the outside of your house and help you with yard work? Because every neighborhood has a life cycle. You know, like everything else, we're talking about that cycle. And so it's about where are we in that cycle and how do we help folks? In our area and throughout the Southwest, we had a big boom of houses in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. And those houses were certainly not built to the same standards we have today. But we can go and we can put in an energy efficient water heater. We can go in, we can retrofit. We're going into homes and putting on roofs, putting in basic things across the country, and certainly in our city, older community members have to leave their home because they can't afford the upkeep on their home. So if we can come in and spend some dollars replacing a roof, a water heater, putting in grab bars, making sure the environment's safe for someone as they're aging, we call it aging in place. We, on the long run, we're saving the home. We're allowing someone to live out their life in dignity as a neighbor and be part of the community.
So proud to live in those homes.
And we are also saving everyone dollars. It costs so much more to move someone into a care facility or move them across the country where they're not with their friends because they have to live with a family member. And in the U.S., we don't realize, but the average cost that drives someone out of their home and into that situation for the home repair is $5,000.
And people in that socioeconomic group, there's an impact on their children in learning. Because if you're moving from school to school to school because you have to move and move and move, this provides a stability that is lasting forever. I mean, there's so many aspects of it from a social services plus that are immeasurable and so absolutely fantastic. What about, you mentioned earlier in the show, and I wanted to circle back to that too, when a person, they get a 0% mortgage, which you said, and so they're paying the principal, which is affordable, you've already established that, then how long do they keep the home, or what if they decide to sell it? How does that all work?
So I'm proud to say last Friday on Building Freedom Day, we raised the wall on 4 brand new houses, and at lunch we heard from Habitat Tucson's very first homeowner. They've lived in the home for 35 years. They talked about what the home meant to them. And then their son, Daniel, who's in his 40s, he was 6 when they moved into the house. He, at the end, because he had been translating for his mother, who speaks wonderful English when I talked to her, but in front of 250 people, she wanted a translator. He translated for her. And at the end, he said, "This isn't my mother speaking, this is me." He said, "I was 6 years old when we moved into that house. And today I want to tell you all, you're not building a house, you're building memories. All of my memories are in that home. And now my children visit my parents in that home." And he's a homeowner, you know, he's a productive member of society. He grew up, he had stable education and other things. So what happens with our family? Somewhere between 17 and about 22, 24 years, their house is paid for in whole. They own that home. A majority of our homeowners stay in the house. We recently purchased a house because we have first right of refusal to purchase the house back. We purchased a house back from someone who sent me the most beautiful letter saying that the house had created stability. She'd been going to the local community college. She had gotten a promotion at work and was moving to a larger metropolitan area in Arizona. But she
wonderful.
But she wrote about how much the house meant to her. When we went in, we bought the house back and at appraised value. And, you know, so she's getting a little money and we're getting a house back. We went in and I'll tell you, there wasn't a crumb in the refrigerator. We could just turn around and sell that house to someone else.
Such pride ownership.
Such pride.
It's great. And that's the hand up, not a hand out. Most people want a hand up. And unfortunately, in the way the social service world is structured, a lot of times they get a hand out and it doesn't help except for that immediate moment. So there's my personal bias on some of the programs that are very much funded. And I understand that if you're hungry, you need to eat. But when you have someone own a home, they have a greater ability to feed themselves.
So absolutely.
It's just all that.
And, you know, most of us buy a house and buy a mortgage.
Yes.
People don't think about that, but you're buying two products.
So true.
The great thing about the Habitat model is they're only buying a house. We're holding that mortgage. Now, most builders, developers, at closing, they get their money. We don't get our money for 20 years. You know, we get it in little dribbles.
So you got to keep buying those houses.
Yes. So we have to keep, we continue to sell houses. We hold those mortgages and people don't realize we're not getting paid at the end.
Right.
You know, if we're getting paid overtime.
Well, it's all good. That's how every time I have anything to do with Habitat for Humanity Tucson, it's all good. We have a little bit over 3 minutes left, which will fly. So I want to know, 2 minutes, I'm getting the 2 minute warning. Do you want to say a little bit about your other community partners? Because you mentioned them, but there are some, are there bigger ones? Like I know TEP has been involved. I just know the piece that Chapman does.
Sure.
You can't do it without them.
We
Is that
can't.
Fair to say?
Absolutely. Tucson Medical Center, Wells Fargo, Chase Bank. You know, we have so many community partners out there. Bank of America just provided those computers for our homeowners.
That's epic.
And education. They're investing in education. We have people investing in the houses. We have local folks, local grocery stores who give us the food for our events. EG's is always out giving
something. It's the village.
It's the village
stepping up to make this all happen. Wonderful to watch.
A small independent coffee time the other day provided all the coffee for the volunteers there at 3 a.m. on building freedom.
Essential
Day.
If you're going at 3 in the morning. And I am forever sorry that I could not have been there. It was I had about 4 other commitments, but it was I put the thing that Brooke sent me up by my computer, so I was there in spirit.
I'm glad you mentioned her, because without the amazing staff and the passion they have, we'd be in trouble.
Team. So I want to tell everybody how to best help you. You share with that. Visit the website, to me, would be the first stop.
Absolutely.
Tell the website.
And think about friends, family that you know that may qualify for a house.
Yes.
And it's
HabitatTucson.org. You can find out everything you want to know.
Absolutely.
If you visit that, how to donate, because you can always take donations, how to donate of your time. I would think following on Facebook, if you're a Facebooker, is a good idea. So there are multiple ways to support what it is you're doing. Okay, I can't believe that's the noise for we're finished, man. T. Van Hook does Building Green Make Sense. She's answered that 100 times. Next week on Saturday, Michael Beck, the lead scientist for the Global Marine Team, the Nature Conservancy. You will not want to miss this one. It's about the very breath we take. Make it a great green week. T, thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's world.